It was on April the 28th, 1889, first Sunday after the land run. There's a group of people in what's now downtown Oklahoma City who gathered round a white flag. They blew a bugle in order to call people to worship, and there they had the first worship service of this church, and when they came to the close, they sang the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It was the beginning of St. Luke's United Methodist Church. Now, in the beginning, we were known as a small little Methodist church. It was called Tabernacle. We were Tabernacle Methodist Church, and we started really at 3rd and Broadway. That's where we built our first structure. We would ultimately outgrow it and move to 8th and Robinson, and then out here to 15th and Robinson to this beautiful facility. But we started in a small tabernacle there at 3rd and Broadway. It was just a couple years ago when we were celebrating our 125th anniversary that we got to thinking about this and thought of how we had started proclaiming our values and the gospel of Christ 125 years ago at 3rd and Broadway, and how much we loved the arts here at St. Luke's. And we thought, why don't we look at musicals on Broadway that also have the values that we've been proclaiming all this time from Broadway here in Oklahoma City when we first started. And so that was the genesis of the idea of St. Luke's on Broadway. This is now our fourth season, our fourth year of trying to look at what is contemporary that really reflects the values we've been sharing for 128 years now right here in Oklahoma City. And so I wanted to start this year's series off with the show Beautiful, the Carole King musical. One of the reasons I chose that one was because Beautiful is actually coming to Oklahoma City. It's going to be showing at our Civic Center Music Hall the end of September. And so you have a chance to go and see it if it's something you want to go be a part of. It's fascinating because when the show came out, it opened really on January the 12th, 2014, there on Broadway. It's a very contemporary show. And when it came out, it immediately garnered 7 Tony nominations. It won 2. One of them was Jessie Mueller, who won Best Actress for playing the part of Carole King in the show Beautiful. Now, it's a little different from some of the musicals we've looked at in the past, because many musicals are great literature, but this musical is a true story. It is the story of Carole King's life, and Carole King is still alive. So it's a different type of thing. Carole King, well, she was born in 1942. She was actually born Carole Klein. She is Jewish. She was born in Brooklyn, in the Bronx. She grew up in Queens. When she was just 3 years old, she started playing the piano. She loved playing the piano. At 4 years old, her father discovered that he could play a note on the piano and she could be somewhere else in the room and she could tell him the note he just played. She had perfect pitch as a 4-year-old child. So her parents started giving her piano lessons when she was 4, and nobody forced her to take piano lessons. No one forced her to practice. I mean, she loved playing, and so she was always going to the piano. She was incredibly smart. At the end of kindergarten, they jumped her to 2nd grade. She would graduate a year early with such a passion for music. When she was 17 years old, she would marry Jerry Goffin. He was 20. They had met at college. They both had a passion for music and their careers in the future. They had jobs, but they started working at trying to write songs. And for the next almost 10 years, they were an incredibly amazing songwriting team. Carole would do the music, and Jerry would do the lyrics. Now, what I discovered as I started doing research on this is that Carole King is the most successful songwriter of the second half of the 20th century. From about 1960 to the year 2000, Carole King would turn out 118 hits. 118 songs that would make it on the pop chart top 100. That's incredible, more than anybody else. She and Jerry would turn out song after song after song in the early 1960s, and of course they were always for somebody else to sing. Now, I didn't realize all the songs that Carole King had written. Maybe you have recognized these. Their first big song that came out was in 1960, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, by the Shirelles. That song went to number one. It was the first all-female group to have a number one hit song. Written by Carole King, Jerry Goffin, the Shirelles. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? But the other songs that they went, the different kinds, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, Aretha Franklin. Take Good Care of My Baby, Bobby V. Crying in the Rain, the Everly Brothers. Up on the Roof, the Drifters. One Fine Day, the Chiffons. Pleasant Valley Sunday, the Monkees. I'm Into Something Good, Herman Hermits. Now, when you think about that, from Herman Hermits to Aretha Franklin, from the Everly Brothers to the Shirelles, I mean, my goodness gracious, all these different groups, and there's just one hit song after the other. After they came out in 1960 with the hit for the Shirelles, they quit their job and they went into writing songs full time. There was incredible success. In the show, it really talks about Carole's life early on till about 1971. You see, early on, you begin to see that when she's 17 years old, getting married, a dream of music, Carole was rather insecure, unsure of herself, not strong in her confidence, that really she was like all of us. You always wonder, are you good enough? Are you smart enough? Are you really good enough for what you're trying to do? She was insecure. They began to write the songs, and there was this great success. Her husband, Jerry Goffin, well, this was the 1960s, he wanted to be a hippie. So he started to grow his hair long, and then there were lots of drugs. He struggled with depression. It was probably a clinical thing. He struggled with depression. And then there were lots of women. And with all these things going on, it was so hard on Carole. She loved her husband. She loved being a duo songwriting team. Life became very difficult. And so finally the day came when Jerry would come in and say, I don't want to be married anymore. I love somebody else. I want a divorce. You know, those are very painful and difficult words that so many people hear. It was so very hard on Carole. They got divorced there in the late 1960s. And it was at that period that Carole begins to go through a change. Instead of just writing songs for someone else to sing, she begins writing songs and decides that she can sing. You see a confidence beginning to grow, a strength beginning to grow, becoming more of her own person, getting out there, and so she starts trying. It's in 1970 that she has the courage now to put together an album. It's called Writers, and it is not well received. When that happens, she could have just folded, but she didn't. She started working on another album in 1971. But in 1970, when her own album wasn't doing well, she began helping a friend who was trying to put together an album. And that was James Taylor. He was putting together an album, Sweet Baby Jane. And Carole would actually play the piano for all the songs on that album of Sweet Baby James. Now, to go back and understand what's happening there, you got James Taylor, who in 1970 is in his own struggles. He too is struggling with depression. He has gone to England to try to help work on this album and to be making it go. And back here in the United States, he had a friend, Suzanne. And Suzanne, she committed suicide while he was away. And his friends didn't want him to know about it because they were afraid he wouldn't be able to finish the album. He'd be so depressed. So they didn't tell him until the album was almost done. In the meantime, he was struggling with a drug addiction, trying to fight that drug addiction and see if he could make it. And when he heard about his friend Suzanne having committed suicide, he sat down and he wrote a song, Fire and Rain. And it really was all about Suzanne and about his own drug addiction. You may remember the words that came out on his 1970 album. Yesterday morning, they let me know that you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body is aching and my time is at hand, and I won't make it any other way. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again. It became a huge hit, Fire and Rain. It was a huge hit because it was something that resonated with us all. We've all seen times of fire and rain. Those lonely times that we thought would never end. Times when you just feel like you can't go on and you are alone. It resonated with people's souls. It was a big hit. That came out in 1970. In 1971, James Taylor began working on another album, Mud, Slide, Slim, and Blue Horizons. Well, that's a title. He started working on that album, but in the meantime, Carol was working on her second album, and she wrote a song. And she wrote the song and shared it with James Taylor because it really was an answer to James Taylor's song, Fire and Rain, that said, I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. And the song that Carol King wrote was, when you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me. And soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Wintertime, spring, or summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend was an answer to James Taylor's Fire and Rain. She shared it with him, and he was quite moved by it. As he was cutting his album, one day while they were in the studio, they'd done the songs they intended to do for the day, and they still had time left. And so James said, what do you think we ought to do with the rest of the time? And one of the band members said, why don't we do that song that Carol shared with you? And so they decided to go ahead with their time and record that song, You've Got a Friend. And they recorded the song, and when they got through with it, they all looked at each other and went, wow, that was good. That's really good. The only problem was they didn't have permission from Carol to use it. And so James Taylor called Carol to say, you know that song you shared with me? I didn't really mean to do it, but we recorded it at the studio, and it sure was good. And Carole King graciously said, use it. And so in 1971, James Taylor released You've Got a Friend, and it went to number one on the charts. In the meantime, Carole King released her album, Tapestry. 1971, featuring the song, You've Got a Friend. And Tapestry went to number one on the charts. Stayed number one for an album for 15 weeks in a row, longer than any album for a female artist ever. It was a huge success. It would be the album that would turn Carole King's life to where now she became the singer and songwriter, featuring the song, You've Got a Friend. 1971, number one single, You've Got a Friend. Number one album, Tapestry, featuring You Got a Friend by Carole King. When she was interviewed about the song itself, she said, "It's the closest thing to pure inspiration I've ever experienced. I didn't write the song. It was given to me from beyond myself." I would believe that, because the song is a message of truth. It's about the nature of God and the nature we have with one another. Winter, summer, spring, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend. It's about how every one of us knows what it means to be alone in your darkest nights. And what we all hunger for more than anything is to have a friend. I believe that's what Jesus was talking about with his disciples in our scripture lesson. For you see, Jesus had come to Jerusalem, and it was the end of his ministry. Jesus knew that he was about to be taken away from them in a physical way. And so he was trying to tell his disciples that he would be with them. For the last 3 years, Jesus had taught the disciples many things. He had taught them about forgiveness. He taught them about worry. Be not anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow be anxious for itself. You know, he taught them about mercy. He taught them about sharing. He taught so many things. But the thing that was the foundation of Jesus' ministry was the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's why when Jesus is here in Jerusalem and he's about to be taken away from them, he says to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." What did he command? "My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's the commandment. If you will love one another as I have loved you, you're going to discover winter, spring, summer, fall, all you have to do is call, and I will be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend. Jesus was going away physically. He wanted his disciples to know, "I'll be there. You've got a friend." When you choose to love, you open your heart to experience God's presence. You got to do what he commanded, to live in that spirit of love. You got a friend. Two things I want to say. First of all, it really is about trusting Christ to be there, to strengthen, to comfort on your darkest nights, to guide, to strengthen, to comfort, to be there so you are not alone. That was the promise Jesus was making to the disciples. He said, "You did not choose me, I chose you. I am your friend, and I will be there." Now, I want to take just one moment and look at the 16th verse that we have here in our scripture lesson, because I think that so often it is the one that is so misused. For in the 16th verse, it tells us, "I have appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abear, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you." Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give to you. So many people seem to believe that's the magic words. When you and I want something from God, we simply have to pray, and we end the prayer with, "In Jesus' name I pray." That means you're supposed to get it. That's not what it means. To pray in Jesus' name means that you would be praying a prayer like Jesus would pray. What would Jesus pray? "I'm going to pray it in Jesus' name." It is the prayer that Jesus would pray. The disciples said, "Teach us to pray." Jesus said, he gave them the Lord's Prayer. You want to learn how to pray? Go study the Lord's Prayer. If it's a prayer about mercy, if it's a prayer about forgiveness, if it's a prayer about love, then that will be the kind of prayer Jesus will pray. You pray in his name. And the promise is, God will answer, "I will be there in your darkest night." That would be the promise, "I'm going to be there to guide you." Now, it's fascinating, as I started studying on this show, Beautiful, I learned a lot about Jesse Mueller. Jesse Mueller is the person who plays the young Carole King on Broadway. And, you know, right now you kind of see the leading ladies who are the people who bring great success. You think about Kelly O'Hare, who was in our special choir as a fellowship student. And, you know, I know Kelly. What a lady of faith. What a lady who is so kind and so down to earth. Well, it appears from all that I read that Jesse's the same way. I don't know Jesse like I do Kelly, but Jesse is friends with Kelly, and it turns out that she seems to be the same kind of person. And whatever show these two ladies are in, they seem to be a success. Well, Jesse grew up in Chicago. Her whole family is in theater. That's how everybody makes a living. Mom, dad, two brothers, a sister, and Jesse. When she first went to Broadway several years ago, on a clear day, you can see forever, she had a part and got a Tony nomination. And then it was Beautiful. She won Best Actress and got a Tony. And then in Waitress, she got another Tony nomination. I mean, she is truly one of the leading ladies now on Broadway. And I saw her being interviewed, and they were talking about, "So how do you like the theater lifestyle?" And she said, "It's very difficult." It's difficult because, she said, "I'm a religious person." And the theater really is all about, look at me. You want to perform, you want people to look. And then you do interviews, you want people to look. It's all about garnering, look at me. And she said, "But as a religious person, I know it's more than just all about me." And so she works very hard to be giving of herself and to be involved in blessing life, in being a friend, because it keeps her grounded. So she understands, "I love the business," she said, "but I want to remember it's not just all about me." She's been raised Lutheran, and she is a lady of faith. The interviewer asked her, "So do you believe God has helped you in your career?" And I want to read you what Jesse Mueller had to say. "You know, I had a moment recently at night. I was talking to my compatriots, Keela and Jenna, the other waitresses in the show, and I was frustrated about something, and they were just like, 'You need to get out of the way.' In my mind, I was like, 'I'm going to fix this. I'm going to solve this.' They said, 'You need to get out of the way.' Sure enough, I got out of the way the best I could, and it was like things started to fall into place. I really believe that God helps to guide our lives. It's been so apparent in my life that God says, 'I want you here. I want you to do this. I'm going to take you here. Even if you don't understand it, you will understand it later.' I really believe God is there to help guide and direct our lives if we are open to Him." That's the promise. Winter, spring, summer, fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend to brighten up even your darkest nights, to comfort, to strengthen, to guide. He promises to be there. You can trust that. And so secondly, it It's because you trust that, that you're able to get out of bed in the morning and put a smile on your face. And you know, that isn't always easy, because life isn't always easy. Life can be hard. But it's because of your faith in Christ you can get out of bed and you make the decision to put a smile on your face. I like the fact that this show was named Beautiful. It was named Beautiful because of the song, Beautiful. You heard it just a few moments ago. You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people are going to treat you better. You're going to find, yes, what you will find, you're beautiful as you feel. I've often asked myself the reason for sadness in a world where tears are just a lullaby. If there's an answer, maybe love can stop the madness. Maybe not, but we can only try. You've got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people are going to treat you better. You're going to find, yes you will, that you're beautiful as you feel. You and I are able to get up even on our darkest nights and put a smile on our face because you're not alone. You've got a friend. You can do it. You can be a friend. You put a smile on your face. You know, it's why this summer I've been asking you, take seriously being disciplined about your daily devotion. Take that time every day to grow still and to commune with God. Every day, take time to write that thank you note. Live out of a spirit of gratitude. Whether your life is on high or whether you're in one of those dark nights, live out of gratitude. Choose to be a friend. The person who is there to bless life, because you know this isn't just all about you, you can be that friend. To love others as you have been loved. Jesus said, by this all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. It's when you and I start to love that we discover that Christ is there. It's when you and I know that Christ is there, we are able to find that we can get up in the morning and we can put a smile on our face because you're beautiful. You know, Carole King's life wasn't just easy. She had incredible success. She had great failures. She knew great joy and incredible sadness and pain. To be able to find that strength, I'm going to get up every morning and put a smile on my face. It's interesting, when they decided to do this show, they asked Carole King about it and she gave permission. She endorsed it. She supported it. They helped to come talk to her and do research about it. They wrote the script. And after it was written and they started getting the characters, they were having some odd read-throughs. And they asked Carol to come and to listen to the play to see what did she think, what suggestions would she make. And when she came and she was listening to them reading through the script, when they got to the part where as a young woman, Jerry was coming in to tell her how he loved other people and he wanted a divorce, she got up and walked out of the reading. And she didn't go back. She was afraid. Been almost 50 years. Been almost 50 years since she had lived through that. But the truth of the matter is that pain was still there. The rawness of those emotions, they still were there. And she was afraid. Afraid of what she would feel. And so she walked out. She would later tell the cast, tell Jesse, I can't come to the show. I can't do it. I'm afraid. So on January the 12th, 2014, the show opened. Jerry Goffin and his new wife were there. Years before, he had gone to Carol and he sincerely apologized for all the pain that he had caused her. He had gotten his life together He was there for the grand opening. It would be not long after that, in 2014, that Jerry would die. It would be about 3 months after the opening of Beautiful that Carol decided she had to go. She didn't tell the cast because she didn't want them to be anxious or afraid. She didn't want to bother them when they're out there trying to bring their best every night. She was worried how would it affect them if they knew she was going to be in the audience. And so what she did, she went to the show disguised because she didn't want to be sitting out there and other people recognize her and then they got to watch how did she react to all the pain throughout the show. So here's this woman who is worried about how she was going to feel and the pain, but she was also still worried and thinking about the feelings of the cast. To be a friend, to need a friend. She went to the show. When the show was over, that was a special night because they were having what says Broadway Cares. After it was over, one of the male leads, Jared Spector, came out to the front and he was trying to talk to the audience. Tonight we want to take up an offering. We're asking for pledges. Will you give for Broadway Cares? We want to help feed the homeless and provide soup kitchens and homeless and help people with AIDS. And he's really into it and giving this impassioned speech when Carol comes walking out onto the stage. The audience was the one who suddenly reacts. They recognize her. They see her coming onto stage. And there's all this rustle now going on. Part of the cast down here, they'd come out for a curtain call. Well, they suddenly recognize her and they're all stunned and step back. Jared's still making the pitch. He doesn't know what's going on. And finally, there's so much commotion, he looks over and there's Carole King. Suddenly, he has nothing to say. His voice goes away and he steps back. Jesse Mueller, she can't see Carol because of Jared. She doesn't know what's going on. And when he steps back, she suddenly sees Carol King walking straight for her. And she said, all I could think about was, oh my gosh, she was here. Oh my gosh, she saw it. Oh my gosh, how does she feel? She said, I started trying to watch her body language. And it looked like she was very happy. And she walked straight to Jesse and she hugged her. And Jesse said, how did we do? And Carol said, it was beautiful. And the two of them walked to the front of the stage, impromptu, unrehearsed, and they sang, You've Got a Friend. It's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let each of us lift up our own silent prayer.